Well, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us here at the intersection of faith and culture. This is the Meeting House on Faith Radio. We enter into our relationships section of the program, and John Roseman joining us this afternoon. John, do you hear the sound of sleigh bells in the background? For it is time for our annual Christmas conversation about various aspects of gift giving and all things Christmas here on this Tuesday before the time we celebrate Christ's birth. Of course, this is a time for traveling. We have family that will be traveling maybe to grandma, grandpa's house, grandparents visiting in the various homes. So you have a lot of family times that come together. And John, right off the bat, as we talk today, I wanted to discuss this whole notion of, for instance, grandchildren going with their parents, perhaps, or maybe unaccompanied by their parents to visit their grandparents. And how is it that you have found things work the best? For instance, a child is used to behaving in a certain way in his or her own home. When they go to the grandparents, there might be a different set of rules. How do grandparents best fit into the whole arena of being consistent with the rules of the house? And how should grandparents try to be consistent with what is being done at the child's own home?
Well, I think, Bob, that it should go without saying that children should be expected to have good manners in their own home and should be expected by grandparents to have good manners. But as far as rules outside of that realm, children are certainly not. The word that is currently in vogue and has been for quite some time is confused. Children are not confused by the fact that one household has one set of rules and another household has a slightly different set of rules and expectations. And in general, that is in fact something that you and I encounter in our lives. And it's not detrimental to children. And I think it can be very positive for children to understand that when they come to their grandparents' house, that some of the rules that operate at their own houses are to some degree relaxed, or even in rare occasions, non-existent when they go to the grandparents' house. I think that grandparents' homes ought to be places of respite for children to a great degree. And we, Willie and myself, my wife and myself, have certainly tried to accomplish that for our grandkids, and it's worked. Our grandchildren call us up and occasionally, on a regular basis, in fact, and just ask, can we come over? And they don't want to come over to do anything else than just hang out with us, just spend time with us, because it is such a relaxed situation over here.
So when the parents and the children come into the grandparents' house, and for instance, there may be a difference of philosophy. For instance, grandparents in reflecting that attitude that you've just outlined might be a bit more laid back and even aghast at the types of discipline that the parents would want to enact over the child there, because, you know, obviously we take the kids to grandma and grandpa's house. It could be, you know, we don't want anything to be broken. We want our kids to behave in a certain way. We have certain expectations. Do you find that there is a tension and it puts the parents kind of in a vice when you visit the grandparents?
Well, my recommendation is that when in Rome, you do as the Romans do, and that when the Romans come to your house, and the Romans being the grandparents, do as the Romans do. I constantly recommend to parents, look, there is no point, and I say this not only from the experiential perspective of a grandparent, but also from the perspective of a parent, there is no point in having tension over rules for children at family gatherings, tension between grandparents and parents. And the overwhelming likelihood is that the grandparents are somewhat less flexible than simply because of age and the inflexibility that begins to set in, you know, as you grow older and you become more set in your ways and more determined that you understand how the world works better than a person who is younger. much more likely that the parents are more capable of flexibility than the grandparents. So therefore, I say, you know, if there is tension between grandparents and parents concerning the rules, then whenever you're with the grandparents, let the grandparents' rules prevail. Just make that a general rule. This is certainly not going to be harmful to your children or detrimental to you being able to communicate your rules to your children. Before you go over to the grandparents' house, say, hey, we're going over to Grandma and Grandpa's. You know there's a different set of rules over there, but you also know that when we come back here, that the same rules that normally apply will apply the minute we walk back in through this door. Children can understand that and relate to that very, very easily.
Well, John Roseman is joining us today here on The Meeting House on Faith Radio. And again, as you mentioned, it's good experience for the children to recognize that there are different rules in different houses. And that's something they're going to encounter in life. And as we are preparing our children, as you say, for their emancipation at some point, that's just something that is that will be reflected in the lives that they will lead. So this is a good learning experience for him. Well, let's talk more about that grandparent relationship, and this time with regard to Christmas gifts. If, for instance, children have more than one sets of grandparents, how is it that you manage or control the amount of gifts that are given to children by their various grandparents? Because, hey, this could be quite a windfall for the child.
It could be quite a windfall. One way to prevent the windfall from spilling back over into your house is to communicate to the grandparents before Christmas. Is to say, look, it matters not to us how many gifts you give each of our kids. We're going to leave that totally up to you, and we're not going to try and tell you what you should or should not buy, or how much you should or should not buy, but we are only willing to take home three of the gifts or two of the gifts that you give our children. So if we have three children, we're only taking home, for example, six of the gifts that you give our children, and our children will know that the rest of those gifts are at your house, and that, in fact, will want our children to come back to your house and enhance our children's perception of your place as a very special place to go. And by the way, Bob, when people have done that, the universal feedback has been that the grandparents have no problem with this and that the amount of gift giving on the part of the grandparents seems to go down when they realize that the consequences of all this clutter are going to be to them rather than to the parents, you know.
That's good. So with respect to the amount of gifts just within one's own family, how is it that parents can perhaps regulate how many gifts to give? And what's your take on a child that is incessant with respect to requesting things to be given to him or her for Christmas?
Well, as far as parent gift giving, let me deal with the second question first. The child who is incessant about wanting things is probably a child who's been given too much in the first place and has become almost literally addicted to getting things in order to, you know, have a sense of well-being. As is the case when parents say, my child can't take no for an answer, I know I'm talking to parents who can't say no and mean it. Parents who would tell me my child is incessant about wanting things, I would bet that I'm talking to parents who give the child too much to begin with. But, you know, the way to... I don't believe that Christmas, that children should come to understand Christmas in terms of getting things. I think that children and the parents, and especially the parents in our audience today, I would hope, Bob, could appreciate this, and I'm certain that they can, that the emphasis at Christmas ought to be on Jesus, that this is a day that we set aside to celebrate his coming into the world and that his coming into the world is the greatest gift that any of us have ever received. And I believe that the amount of gift giving at Christmas is inversely proportional to getting that message across to children, so that if you give very few gifts to your children, you are more likely to be able to get that message across effectively. If you give a lot of gifts to your children are going to see Christmas as a time of year when they get things, rather than a time of year to reflect upon the coming of Jesus Christ and to reflect upon this greatest of all gifts in their lives.
And I think it's a consistent message when we think about what Christ has done for us and the fact that he gave us the greatest gift. He gave us his life so that we might know him. One of the ways that we can communicate that to our children is to engage them in projects or activities in which they are actually giving to others.
Exactly, right. One of the things that we did along those lines for our children, with our children, when they were living at home, they're both in their 30s now, but we told them that for every gift they received from someone at Christmas time or their birthdays, they had to give an existing toy away to charity. So that if they, and it, specifically it was toys, for every toy they received, they had to give a toy away to charity. So that they, A, the amount of toys in their rooms never increased above a certain very conservative number. And secondly, they got into the habit of understanding that good citizenship in part means that you share whatever bounty there is in your life with people who are less fortunate than you are for circumstances that are beyond their control.
Mm. And John, as we have talked about, in fact, a couple of months ago, we hit on the whole notion of respecting others. And what a great way, especially we have that opportunity this time of year, to teach our children to put the needs of others above their own and to show respect for others. And that's, again, preparing them for being good, responsible citizens who glorify God.
Exactly. And people who look outside themselves rather than are constantly trying to feed their own needs and ambitions and so on.
Well, John, I appreciate the time you've taken today, as we hopefully have provided some good thoughts for this holiday season. And John, for you and your family, have a great Christmas season, and we look forward to catching up with you following the first of the year. Again, people can go to rosemond.com, parentingbythebook.com, and also 6-Point Plan, spell out the word six, SIX pointplan.com, to find out more about John Rosemond's 6-Point Plan for raising happy, healthy children. And John, I appreciate the time you've taken. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll look forward to our next conversation, Bob.